Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything of virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
We're grateful for all of your presence this morning. We continue with our series that we've been studying over the last several weeks in regard to holiness. And as God's people, we know our call to holiness relates to the very nature of our God. Because He is holy in His nature, therefore, we ourselves in like manner are to be holy. And to be holy is to be separate. It is, as a people, as Christians, to be separated from worldliness, from the darkness that surrounds us, to a life dedicated to the service of God. His purposes are to be our purposes. We, in our day-to-day walk, are to fulfill the holy calling to which we have been called. And as we think about the subject of holiness, this morning our attention focuses on, I think, something that we need to give a lot of thought to. And this relates to holiness in regard to entertainment choices. Well, entertainment is nothing new. People have entertained themselves for a long time, have been entertained by others for a long time. It takes on different forms, though, today. And it is much more widely accessible and quickly accessible. And entertainment has taken on many forms and has been filled with many types of content, much of it very ungodly in nature, because it is produced by those who are godless in their living, in their thoughts, in what motivates them. And so we have to be very cautious, and we cannot simply take what is offered. You know, if you were to go overseas and you were to go around the walk along the streets and pass the different vendors, probably you wouldn't just take whatever was offered you as far as what you would eat. You'd be mindful of the fact that if I eat just whatever, this is going to affect me. I might get terribly sick. Something might happen to me that will affect my health. Much more important than that is, what are we consuming? What are we taking in to our hearts and minds as those who are to be walking in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How are we living? And what are we then taking into our lives through our minds, that is, through our eyes and our ears? As we study together this morning, we're going to be looking at three points wherein we'll be talking about various aspects of the holiness we need to have in regard to our entertainment choices. We're going to begin with the idea of the expected purity. There is an expectation from heaven as to how we are supposed to be from the inside and reflecting that outward in our living. We'll also talk about the endangering poison. There is a poison that is being used by Satan to corrupt, to defile, and to kill. And then we'll look at the essential purging, a very necessary getting rid of and eliminating from our lives those sources of influence that we have control over that will bring harm to us. It's the way of holiness, and we'll talk about that this morning. Let us begin with this idea of the expected purity. Now, it's not too difficult for us as we think about being Christians that God expects us to be a very holy people, distinct and very different from the world around us. God expects us to be pure, right? He doesn't want us to be defiled. He wants us to be very clean on the in and outside. But one of the statements that our Lord made in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, and this is where He was teaching in his Sermon on the Mount, and we have this early section of that sermon often referred to as the Beatitudes, but Jesus in this verse says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, we have to be of that nature. You can be all kinds of things within your heart. The ones who are going to see God. Those who are going to be not only in fellowship with Him now and enjoy eternity with Him in the future are those who take upon themselves a serious attitude of making sure that they are of this sort. What is that? That they are pure in heart. How do you get purity of heart? By putting into your heart, into your mind, within the very soul of yourself, that which is pure. You know the expression that people use? You are what you eat. Have you heard that before? Think about how that applies spiritually. What are we consuming? You know, we can consume and ought to be consuming this right here, the bread of life. But oftentimes we also consume things that are harmful. They will hurt us. In fact, they can cause our spiritual death. Are we pure in heart? Because the question is, for us, will we be able to see God in the end? Will we be able to look upon Him for all eternity, the one that we cannot look upon and live now, but one day He's promised us will be clothed with a new body, immortal in nature. We will be in the presence of God forever if we are these kinds of people, those who are pure in heart. I would suggest to you that we cannot be pure in heart or maintain purity of heart if we defile our hearts and minds with that which the world offers us in the form of entertainment that is corrupt. It cannot be done. And if we are not pure in heart, we will not see God. But let us think about then these words from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. This was our scripture reading. What are we letting into our hearts? Here is divine instruction. Here's the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, telling us what kind of things we should meditate upon, give our minds to contemplating, thinking about, giving serious attention to. And you know, meditation takes time. Do we spend a lot of time with the Word of God? And if you're going to meditate on all these kinds of things, that is going to be a time-consuming process. But what is the word today that you often hear about how people are spending their time? You turn on any of these entertainment services, and you'll see all this stuff about the binge-worthy shows. It's all about spending hours and hours and hours just watching long episodes of various shows. It'd be nice to be binge reading people that spend a lot of time focusing upon God's Word, enriching our lives. These are the things that really and truly matter. And they will not corrupt, they will enhance. They will purify. They will teach and instruct us. They will guide us in the ways of holiness, God's will. And therefore, Paul says, whatever things are true. You know, there's a lot of falsehood being put out in our world today. False concepts, false ideas, false representations of things corrupt, presented as if they're good and innocent and harmless. But Paul says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These are the things that we must give our minds to, that are proper and right to dwell upon, meditate upon, so that we might be a people who can truly say, we are holy like our God is holy. And if you take the opposite of these things and you fill your heart and mind with such, then you will be of your father the devil. That's what Jesus says, right? You are of your father the devil, because there were people in his day that were of a mindset that were like the one who is the adversary of the Lord. Here's what we need to be focusing on. And we cannot do that when we are watching, listening to, reading what the majority of the world, or what the world offers to us, the majority of what they offer to us is of that nature, the corrupt nature. that we're talking about. Do you remember what the scriptures remind us of in the life of David? Psalm 51. And we read about the request of this righteous man. Here was a man who prayed acknowledging his great sin against God. Some of your Bibles may in fact have a heading to this psalm that says it is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Here is David acknowledging he has severely sinned against God. But look at verse 7 and what David pleads with God to do. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He's asking for forgiveness, that he might be cleansed of that which defiled him. There are things in this life, sin, that defiles us. Why would we watch people commit sin and think that that is entertainment and somehow that's okay as a holy child of God? And then look at what he says in verse 10. David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Where did David's sin begin? When he looked and he lusted, he did not turn away, but in fact invited, summoned, brought to his home the woman that he desired. David's request is the request that we should all have. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And we cannot do that. And when we then go home and turn on the tube and begin to watch what is given to us without extreme discretion and the willingness to say, no, this is not coming on here. You know, think about it this way. We have in our homes plumbing systems, and they bring into our house what we expect, right? Water that has been treated. Water that is clean. And we gladly drink of it. But there is another plumbing system that is coming into most homes. And it is filled with that which is defiled, corrupt, and poisoned. And it is the media of all sorts. And you can access it on your television, on your computer, on your tablet, on your phone, and it will be in the form of TV shows and movies. You can get on those devices magazines and books that you can read, and there's all the content on the internet, YouTube, just all kinds of sources. There's the music sources, Spotify, Pandora, and, you know, opening the Pandora's box is rather appropriate because there are all kinds of things that you can listen to as well. There are, you know, music, there are songs with a little label right next to them, explicit. How sad. In the playlists of various Christians of all ages, you will have explicit because we are not discriminating. We think, no harm. What's the problem here? Just because everybody else is doing it. What are we thinking? We are the holy children of God. Jesus went to that cross and died on the cross to set us free from sin. And we take it into our ears, through our eyes. We ingest what the world offers. This is not right. It is not right. And so we need to think about for a moment then this endangering poison. And it is in fact an old recipe. It is an old recipe that Satan has used for a long, long time. You know the little children's story in Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Remember the evil queen, what she did? She looked through her book of spells and she found the spell for sleeping death, right? And so she concocted that potion and she put the apple in there. And she pulls up the apple and it looks like a skull. And that black apple then turns what? Red. It's enticing. It's going to be tempting. It looks beautiful. This is something we can eat. And that's precisely what Satan has done. He has taken something, packaged it up, makes it appear desirable. And we take it and we eat it. and it is that which will cause the death of many. Satan uses various sources of influence to poison human hearts. And those sources of influence are like that tempting red apple that was given to Snow White. Consider what the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Here we see that evil influence clearly in Noah's day had gotten so pervasive that listen to what the scripture says about the world at that time. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Satan uses all sources of influence. Now, with the media, here you have a powerful means of influence that in fact has been studied and researched to know just how to make it even more influential and powerful to shape minds and to cause people to act. I mean, think about the millions that advertisers pay to get 30 seconds to a minute up on the screen because they know that will influence people to purchase a product. But Satan is wanting to sell you something more insidious. Satan is wanting to sell you something that will destroy you, because it will change your thinking. It will desensitize you to sin. It will cause you to not speak out about things because everybody does it. It's not a big deal. And it may, in fact, cause you to have such a lax attitude that you don't even bother to deal with it in the lives of your children, your grandchildren. Then what's going to happen? Things that you would never do, they're doing. But you know everybody else is doing it, so what's the harm? And we have been desensitized over the decades to take this horrible mindset and approach toward things that are killing our society. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, Solomon said. And we are worthy of great reproach in this nation because of what we have allowed and what we tolerate. We need to be voices that speak out against such things. There are secular organizations. The Parents Television Council is one that is fighting a battle to rid the airwaves of a lot of the evil influences, from the violence to the sex and all of the profanity and the things that just flood the airwaves. It's horrible. But shouldn't we as God's people take a stand for what is right? But don't we first have to clean up our own act? Don't we have to do what is right for ourselves and begin to practice what we preach? The claim that we make we are disciples of Christ, would Jesus do these things? Would he watch? Would he listen to? Would he read such things? No. We know he wouldn't. And therefore, we need to reform our ways because this is an endangering poison. There are warnings that come to us from heaven. We see in the scriptures. Think about the basic idea that was conveyed by God to the children of Israel. You go into this land and you displace this people. In fact, you destroy all these people. God's judgment against these wicked and heathen nations. Why? Well, because they were sinful and God was judging them. But don't let them remain. Another reason, because they will influence you. And do not intermarry with such people because they will cause you to depart from me and you will worship their gods. And what happened? When the children of Israel did not obey the voice of the Lord and let those people remain, they were influenced and they did depart from God, and those things rubbed off on them and they became what they perhaps never thought they would. Idolatrous people that did not fear God any longer. And thus they fell under the judgment of God on many occasions. The scriptures remind us, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 about the power of influence in this regard. Listen, evil company or companionships corrupt good habits or morals. Isn't that true? Evil company corrupts good habits. The things that we associate with, the people, the influences, corrupt, they change, they defile. That's again back to what God said and why he gave the command to his people. You have Proverbs 12 and verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You know who people have as some of their closest friends? The producers and actors and actresses in Hollywood, because they spend a lot of time with them. And they are highly influenced by them. And what you open your heart and mind to is going to influence you. That is how it works. That's how it works. We are made that way. King Solomon himself was influenced to turn from God in 1 Kings 11, verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So the influence for Solomon was these women that he had married, and they were successful in turning his heart away from God. Do we not think that the evil influences of the world through the media cannot influence us? They can and they do. It happens all of the time. It's an interesting thing to read about those who were converted to the Lord in the book of Acts in the city of Ephesus. Here were some people who had been of pagan backgrounds of various sorts. They were those who had practiced sin of all sorts, including the sin of sorcery and witchcraft and all that type of thing. Well, the Bible tells us there in Acts chapter 19 and verses 18 and 19, it says, "And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver." Think of the value of that. And what did they do with it? They burned it because it was a source of evil influence. They had formerly practiced such things. They had believed, and now they confessed the wrong, and they took all of these sources of influence, these books in this case, and they destroyed them. The value was great, but they weren't going to sell it and then take that and do good with it. No such thought. It was to be destroyed. You know, maybe we need to go through our libraries, our tapes and CD collections, our books or our movies and videotapes, DVDs, and start thinking about what do I have here and what is in this right here, and begin to offer some burnt offerings, we might say, to the Lord, because we need to clean things up, don't we? I mean, here's an example given to us. Why is this here? Is it not to show us the deeds of the righteous and those who from the heart have been converted to the Lord and the changes that are necessary to be right with the Lord? What a powerful example. Solomon said in Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." We need to protect our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. And how do we do that? By guarding what we open our minds and hearts to. By deciding that I'm going to choose not to listen to this, not to watch this, not to read this, because it is wrong. In Mark 7, Jesus in verses 20 through 23 says, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, murders or adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." Now, when you look at that list here, I would like for you to think a moment about this. Nearly everything in this list is something you can watch on television. And you could put it right there into your mind. And then from your mind will come all of these things. That's what Jesus says. What you have in your mind, what you have put there, because it doesn't happen by accident, that's what will come out of your heart and will be seen in your actions. The solution, of course, is to clean up our minds and to change our actions and begin only allowing in what is pure and holy. If that means that I will almost never, very rarely, compared to what I do now, watch various things or listen to various things, then so be it. Is that a great sacrifice after what Jesus has done for me? And what about all the time that we can now spend on the Word of God, listening to hymns that will encourage us, listening to the Bible on a cassette or CD, or it might be a digital form as well? All of the ways in which you can really now put your time and effort into what will build you up, strengthen you, and purify your mind. And allow you then from a heart filled with good to bring forth good actions, good works that glorify God. Jesus, of course, made it very clear that the mind must be pure. In Matthew 5 and verse 28, he said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Well, you have many opportunities to do that when you turn on the television or you go to a movie, because there are all various stages of immodesty, nudity, various types of scenes of romance where partners are involved in sexual acts, things like that can happen. Where's that going to take the mind? If the mind has to be pure, then we don't want anything that's going to influence our minds to go in a direction nobody else can see, but where is our mind? And we know. And you know what? Once you've seen it, you can't erase it like a hard drive. You've got to be very careful. And we need to help our children to do the same. And on that note, think about the need for us as parents to make sure that whatever devices our children have access to, we have control over that and we are helping to protect them. That's our responsibility. Why was Eli condemned by God in regard to his sons and their wickedness? The Bible says it was because he did not restrain them. He had a responsibility, and we all do as parents, to restrain our children, protect them from Satan's poison, as we mentioned earlier. But think about Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4. Listen to these words. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness." Now again, remember, we don't have to, live in an age where the media is now a widespread way of setting wicked before our eyes. They could do it back in these old times as well. In ancient times, you could choose to set wickedness before you, and the righteous did not do that. Listen to this. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." So when we do turn on, and it contains profanities, immodesties, themes that are unbiblical or unchristian, that present values contrary to the values of the Lord, when we set all that before us, are we not doing the very thing that we're told not to do here? "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." Do we hate the work of those who fall away? Think about the people who produce this garbage, this content. These are those who fall away. Do we hate their work when we're paying them to keep producing it? Because that's in essence what is happening. We are funding the production of such things. "A perverse heart shall depart from me." No, it won't. No, it won't. Because we continue to fill our hearts with this kind of stuff. "Until we decide to set nothing wicked before my eyes," or our ears for that matter, we cannot truthfully say these words, "I will not know wickedness." We will be very familiar with it. Other warnings is the last things that is mentioned here on our outline. And under this heading, I'd like to read a few quotations from you. Here is a book that I've got. It's called A Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs. What this is some of the writings of those individuals often called church fathers from the early centuries following, the end of the history that we have. So this is not inspired. I'm not saying that. But here it's interesting to read the writings of those who were fighting their own battles in early centuries against similar things. Now here under the heading of entertainment in this book, you have some interesting quotations. Here's one from Tertullian. He says, "Are we not in like manner commanded to put away from us all immodesty? On this ground, again, we are excluded from the theater." They had in those days the theater. They could go to these places and watch performances. So he's saying, aren't we commanded to put away all immodesty? On this ground, we are excluded from the theaters. If we are Christians, we're to put away all this thing. We cannot go there, he says, because that's present at those places. He says, on this ground, again, we are excluded from the theater, which is immodesty's own peculiar abode. The very harlots, too, victims of the public lust, are brought upon the stage. Let the Senate, let all ranks blush for very shame. Is it right to look on that which it is disgraceful to do? How is it that the things that defile a man in going out of his mouth are not regarded as doing so when they go in his eyes and ears? That's very perceptive. Very perceptive thought. Here's another quotation. This is from Cyprian. Turn your attention to the abominations of another kind of spectacle that is not less to be deplored than the gladiator contest. In the theaters also, you will behold what may well cause you grief and shame. The old horrors of parental murders, the incest, are unfolded in action calculated to resemble reality. Things that have now ceased to be actual deeds of vice become examples. Adultery is learned while it is seen. The matron, who has perhaps gone to the spectacle as a modest woman, returns from it immodest. What a degradation of morals it is. What a stimulus to abominable deeds. What food for vice. And then there is another quotation here by another of the early writers. I am inclined to think that the corrupting influence of the stage is more contaminating than, and in quotations, the gladiator combats. That is because the subject of comedies is the dishonoring of virgins or the loves of harlots. And the more eloquent they are who have written the narratives of these disgraceful actions, the more they persuade others by the elegance of their words. In like manner, the tragedies placed before the eyes of the audience, the incest and the parental murders of wicked kings, they also portray dire crimes. And what effect do the immodest gestures of the actors produce except to teach and incite lust? The actors' weakened bodies are rendered effeminate after the gait and dress of women. They imitate unchaste women by their disgraceful gestures. Why should I even mention the mimes who instruct others in corrupting influences? They teach adulteries while they act them out. By pretended actions, they train the audience to do those actions that are real. What can young men or virgins do when they see that these things are practiced without shame and are willingly watched by all? So what we have today, it's interesting. It's not new. People in these early centuries were crying out with the same concerns about, look at what people are doing and look at what is being offered to humanity and what a shame it is. What a shame it is. But what is even more sad is that we are not as discerning as we should be. And we are often among those who are guilty of taking into our ears and our eyes that which we should never, ever take in. And therefore, there is a need for the essential purging. There is thinking that clearly must be purged. The thinking that, well, there is no harm. The Bible flatly contradicts us. It says evil influences change us. They corrupt us. They take us away from God. The idea that everyone else is doing it. Well, the majority of the world is going to be lost. Are we wanting to stand with them and be judged like them in the last day? Why would that be an argument? And then we have the idea, well, I see or hear these things all the time at work. What's the difference? Well, the difference is we get to choose. You don't choose to drink polluted water. You choose to drink clean water. Shouldn't you choose to bring in? Doesn't God expect you only to choose what is pure? He certainly does. Listen to a man described as righteous. In 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, the Bible speaks of Lot, who was delivered from Sodom's destruction. It says that God delivered righteous Lot, notice, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. He lived in a place that was corrupt. And what was his corruption's effect upon him? It grieved him bitterly. His soul was tormented by all of this garbage around him. Can you even imagine, can you fathom Lot walking into a theater to watch such things? He would be horrified that among those who claim to be disciples of Christ today, servants of the God that he served, are those who willingly watch what he couldn't stand to be around. That, in fact, should be our mindset. That should be the way we think, the way we feel about what is offered in this world. And that we should make a distinction between the good and the evil. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Abhor what is evil. We're not doing that when we watch all of the filth that is being put out there. We are not abhorring what is evil and clinging to what is good. Not in the least. If we abhor what is evil, we will not choose to accept such things. We will cease to let them into our hearts and minds. We will change our ways. And that, of course, is why practices must be purged from our lives. Listen to what Job says in Job 31, verses 1 through 4. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Job had made a promise to himself, a covenant with his eyes. He wouldn't look upon a young woman. What is he talking about? Lusting. So he's not going to look in that way upon young women. Well, that's a lesson in regard to decisions that we should make in regard to doing what is right and refraining from what is wrong. We're not going to place right within our path that which is going to cause us to stumble and to sin. We would abstain from it. And then Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11, for you were once darkness, these former pagans, but now Christians. Now you are light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then he says, and have no fellowship. That is, don't partake of what? The unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We partake of the unfruitful works of darkness when we engage in the partaking of corrupted media. In fact, participation in the process of this producers producing and consumers consuming process, it is enabled when this happens. And we talked about this on Wednesday night. You think about it, if people took to their beliefs and convictions as they should and said, you know what, we are no longer going to watch such things, we're no longer going to listen to such things, then those who rely upon the production of such things for their living will no longer have funding. They won't be able to do it any longer. Now, if you stop buying things that they're producing when it's corrupt, they'll run out of an audience. And if people all over the world did that, but sometimes we're not doing that at all. We should change our ways and let such practices be purged from our lives. And of course, there are ways to know ahead of time. You can go to such sites as PluggedIn.com, and you can see movies before they even come out as far as what their content is going to be. And you can know, look at what it says right here. Would the Lord watch this? Would he listen to this? No. I'm not going to support this. I'm not going to have anything to do with such things. And change our ways. There is an essential purging that must take place. Remember, this is all about holiness and being holy like our God is holy. Sin separates from God. Sin is corrupting. It is something we should hate. Sins are listed in the book of Proverbs, the seven abominations, things that God hates. We should hate all sin, just like God hates all sin. And we cannot and we will not any longer watch or listen to or read things that are sinful. Because they defile our minds, we must make changes so that we might be the holy people of God. We've talked about today the expected purity. Let us get hearts committed to being just this, being a pure people and meditating on these things that we read there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Let us remember the endangering poison is all around us through the influences of the media, through the influences of all sorts that Satan has always used. And let us remember there is an essential purging that must take place. Let us take action like those in Ephesus who burned their books of sorcery. Let us, in other words, take action to eliminate from our lives anything and everything that is going to defile, that is not what Jesus would do, that is incompatible with the way of a holy child of God. because by doing so, we will be able to be an example to those around us, an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will all stand on the same page in regard to walking with God. And that strength and unity of resolve is a powerful influence in a community to do what is right in the sight of God. If you're here this morning, you're not yet a child of God, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Become a part of the family of God through that process by which God describes in His Word. It begins with faith. I believe Jesus is Christ, is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm determined to repent of my sins and put such things behind me. I confess my faith in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and I am ready to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of my sins, that the blood of Jesus Christ might wash me, and I might be added by God to the church. Maybe you're already there. Within the body of Christ, are you living faithfully? Are there things in your life that you need to make right? If you do, we can help you this morning. We can pray for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?